Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's time to push back as we see so many things spiral out of control and American traditions and norms thrown by the wayside. It's time to push back. There's a bunch of ways you and me and all our friends and relatives can do this. On this episode of KKHI, I have three shining examples of people pushing back and making a real difference. In Kansas City, 500 homeless union members picketed for housing and got it. That's right, there's a homeless union led by a man calling himself Gaddafi. But that's not his real name. The tent cities at City Hall and Westport are now closed, and these folks are living in hotels courtesy of the city via the federal government. How do you sign into a hotel when you call yourself Gaddafi? And your real name the government knows you by is James Shelby. This story is much bigger and much more interesting than just providing rooms for the homeless. In Flint, Michigan, a female post office letter carrier is beaten up by two other women, and you will not believe why and how. In sports, the Royals just keep falling behind in games, and ace Brad Keller struggles again. It's got to stop, or this team's going to be in big trouble. Over in the National League, an ace pitcher is being investigated for doctoring the baseball with sticky stuff and marks on the ball. This man has a target on his back. I'll tell you who he is and why. The Masters is underway. Did you see those splotchy brown greens? Yuck! Somebody throw some water on there. And Ochai Agbaji from the University of Kansas is testing the NBA waters. It's all ahead on KKHI. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, where we just make it easy. Best way to buy a car right now? Because there've been some shutdowns because of the computer software, little microchips, right? Superconductors or semiconductors. Best way to do it is order your own car. You want a new car right now? Order it up. You want a GM? It's robertsrobinson.com. Call them up and say, I'm looking for a Chevy, a Buick, a GMC, or maybe that sweet new Hummer that's coming out. They can order it right up for you with every option you want, or maybe more importantly, every option you don't want. Maybe you just need a work truck that doesn't have all the bells and whistles. You want something you're going to be beating up because you're out there working every day? Roberts Robinson will order it just for you, exactly like you like it. Whether it's Silverado, Sierra, Canyon, Colorado, Roberts Robinson is all about trucks. Online at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive. And right now, there's just a few 2020s left at ridiculously low prices, and the Chevy Silverado 1500 crew cabs are coming in with a cash allowance for 2021. Select Chevy models, 17% off MSRP right now at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in the Kansas City area. Dr. Jeremy is a forward thinker, an outside-the-box guy. He knows what the real issues are when you take your kid to go get braces. You know you need to do it. So you do this for your kids, and you go through the experience, and then what do? They start losing retainers. My oldest son, I'll call him out right now. He must have lost 5 retainers. Every time, $300, $400, another retainer. Well, Fry Orthodontics is offering a new program called Free Retainers for Life. That's a great deal, all right? Consider that. FryOrthodontics.com is the website. Also, they're offering Invisalign right now for the same price as braces. It's fewer appointments, it's less missed time, it's less painful, and it's better hygiene. Invisalign, now the same price as braces, only at Fry Orthodontics, online at FryOrthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. And BeStock.net, man, I love saving you money. BeStock.net, that's B as in boy, BeStock.net, the only place to buy electronics or televisions is BeStock.net. Online right now, they have a function called Make Offer. You can offer a lowball offer on any mid-range or high-end TV. They'll consider them all. The 2020 models got to go, so hit that Make Offer function online at BeStock.net. Or you can order it that way and then go pick it up yourself in Olathe, or they'll ship it to you. Or you can just go to the showroom at the outlet store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's where I'm getting the new TVs for my new house. I wouldn't buy anything anywhere else. Everything they have is less than Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. There's no need to comparison shop. But now, if you want a 2020 model Samsung, they have them all. You can get one with the Make Offer function and offer even less than they're charging at BeStock.net in Olathe. Okay, it's all about pushback. We got to start making a difference. Every one of us individually somehow. Today on KKHI. Hit it!
Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Let's talk about pushback and how this is going to work over the next few years with the Democrats in charge, at least for the next 2 years, until we can get some common sense folks in the House or controlling the Senate. What we will do as conservatives, and it's been a kind of a theme of this podcast since we started, about, you know, getting involved, taking part, doing what you can. Everybody has different circumstances and situations. Some people are able to, you know, do and say whatever they want. They work for themselves. They're completely independent. Some people may work at a business that is run by liberals and has more liberals in the workplace or whatever, and you're around them all the time and you feel like you can't talk. But I'm definitely starting to see a pushback, and I think pushback is maybe the key word. It's definitely the theme of this podcast today, and I want to share with you a few of the ways that people are starting to push back. You know the way I'm starting to push back. You know what I'm doing. I've started a podcast and said, okay, I'm not the guy I used to be. I've grown up. I'm older. There are more important things to talk about, or as important things to talk about, as the things that we just talk about for fun, like the Masters. I ran to the microphone after the first round of the Masters yesterday and did a patrons-only podcast. I just ran to the microphone because I love talking about golf. And I love the Masters. It excites me. And I went and I did that, and I played a clip from the Patron podcast with Danny where he asked me about my experience of going to Augusta National. And I posted that for the patrons, about an hour or so last night after the first round ended. That's fun. Those are the things that I enjoy in my life. We all have things that we love, and we have passions and things that we really, really enjoy. Then there are things that are more important than the golf tournament you love. And that's really the reason that I started doing this podcast, is I just don't see anybody in Kansas City or in the Midwest talking about the things that we talk about here. There's no media outlets really doing it. There's talk radio, and they do, but I do things differently. And the show's named Kevin Keatsman Has Issues because to me this is all about issues. It's not about, you know, the dynamics of winning an election or this many seats in this House or the, you know, the inside baseball stuff in politics. To me, that's not what it's about. To me, it's always, I'm a big picture guy. Everything I look at, there's a big umbrella over something. And so today's umbrella, the big umbrella topic here, is pushback. And so what are we going to do? And what can we individually do? And so I thought it would be interesting to share some examples of what falls under the heading of pushback, but isn't always pushback. Sometimes it's just organization. Sometimes it's clarity. Sometimes it's common sense. So I've got three examples today of things that I believe are a way of pushing back. The most common way, not always the most effective, but the most common way is celebrities making news by what they say. We know that conservatives that are in sports or entertainment or whatever, unless you're in politics, I think you feel like as a conservative you can't really speak out. Well, one of the best pitchers of my lifetime, David Wells, former Major League pitcher, two-time World Series winning pitcher, was on the Brian Kilmeade show Thursday, and he started blasting Major League Baseball for what they've done with the All-Star Game. And these are the kinds of things that are important because a lot of people will see this. A lot of people that only see one side of the issue. Oh, Republicans in Georgia are racist. That game has to be moved. They'll note or know that David Wells made some comments. And as long as it's not something outrageous or, you know, completely out of control or racist in tone or something like that, this is a positive step. There is a difference between a current player and a former player saying things like this. Like, it would carry a lot more weight even in Major League Baseball today. Like, if Whit Merrifield came back home after the road trip, we'll assume that Whit Merrifield's going to make the All-Star game, right? Led the league in hits again, and I mean, let's just assume he's going to make it. And so the reporters asked him about it, and he very thoughtfully said, I think this whole thing is absurd. I've read the Georgia voter ID law. It is not racist in any way. In fact, what I think is racist, and I have teammates that are black, teammates that are from Latin American island nations and whatnot, he says, what I think is racist is people assuming that black people are too dumb or too poor to have IDs. I think that's one of the most racist things I've seen. There's some great memes out there on the internet right now where people are walking up doing what we used to call man on the street interviews for TV. You've seen this. Reporter walks up to a complete stranger, asks some random questions, And it's just like, they're all white millennials. They're all like in their 20s. You know, what do you think of the Georgia ID law? Oh, it's racist. Why is it racist? Well, you know, the black people live in different parts of the city than we do. And the black people, you know, they can't get IDs as readily available as we can. And, you know, the black people don't have the money, and it's systemic racism. And they just sound like the most racist people you've ever heard in your life. It is pathetic what these white people are saying about black people. And they're liberals. They're Karens. They're the kind that you know, gain self-esteem or confidence in the fact that, oh, we support black people. We'll help. This voter ID law is terrible. I think running around saying black people don't have IDs is one of the most racist things I've ever heard in my life. And that's on liberals. And so it's important to point that out. And if somebody like Whit Merrifield, I'm not saying that he would, but if somebody like Whit Merrifield, a current major league player, understood the issues, or even Phil Mickelson at the Masters, and Phil's a conservative, I know he's a conservative, and it would have been awesome if he stepped up and said it. But you know what? Phil got in trouble a few years ago by saying he was moving out of California to somewhere else where there wasn't state income tax. Phil Mickelson was paying 12.5% state income tax in California on $60 million a year income. Run the math, okay? That's $6.5 million or something, right? More than that. $8 million. $8 million a year he's paying to the state of California. Why live there? You know how much money, what kind of house you could buy for the $8 million you'd save in 1 year? That's why Joe Rogan left and moved to Texas. They're all moving out. The people who are making the most money are moving out. It's getting worse in California and New York. And there's a reason why. But it would be awesome if some conservative current athlete stepped up, was articulate, knew the issues, and just came right back at the reporters and said, you're wrong. We've got a former player that's doing that, David Wells. There are others. The former players find it much easier than current players. And I'm not sure, when I get to the end of David Wells' comments here, I'm not sure I 100% believe him, but it's possible. Maybe. He was a little bit of a rebel. So Wells goes on the Brian Kilmeade show, and he says about Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, moving the All-Star game. Quote, I've had a lot of dealings with Rob Manfred back from my playing days, and I never liked the guy. I thought he was a bit odd. He never understood anything. To me, how do you change the game, the dynamic, and hurt a city like Atlanta that really needs some income in that situation? I mean, Atlanta's a great place to play baseball. I feel really bad, he went on to say. He talked about playing in the minor leagues in a town in North Carolina that he saw basically as a segregated town. He said, African Americans have gone through some crazy stuff in their time, and I feel really terrible. Today, what we have now, we're equal. Why can't we be treated equally instead of having the race card? Wells added the Biden administration has no idea what they're doing, and it doesn't fit their narrative, you know? It's just going to be crazy. I don't watch baseball anymore, Brian, David Wells said. I refuse to watch it now because of this. I don't want any part of it. And this was my life. For me to not want to go to a baseball game or even watch, it kills me because I don't put up with that kind of crap, and I just don't condone it. Kilmeade went on to ask him about Colin Kaepernick and kneeling for the national anthem, and David Wells said, it's disrespecting our flag. It's disrespecting our military, and I don't stand for it. I grew up in San Diego, a military town. So to me, Nike, I took everything Nike I had and I threw it in the trash. I got rid of it all. I don't want it. I don't condone these types of things. If I was playing right now, I would not wear Nike. I'd rip it off. I'd cut a hole in my jersey and not have anything Nike on me. And if I got suspended, so be it. So there's David Wells in our first example of pushing back. You can do it verbally. If you have a public forum, it's always great to be able to do something like that. And on the latter part, it leads into another way that you can push back, and that is with the dollars and cents that you spend. I did what David Wells did. Not everybody I know did this. I'm a little bit old school, so I believe in these things. I believe that one person can make a difference. When the Nike stuff started happening, when I saw Nike, and I've not done this with every company, I've told you this, like we still have a Facebook page, I use an iPhone. I'll consider going to Samsung when it's time for a new phone. I'm caught in a trap here too, like a lot of people. But on things like the golf shirts that I wear to go play golf in, t-shirts that I buy, shoes that I buy, this is the easiest thing in the world. There are dozens of competitors to Nike. This is the easiest thing ever. I threw all my stuff away, which meant I basically threw away any K-State gear I had. Gone. I had a couple of ball caps I really liked. They were the smaller kind. They had a tinier logo on the front. I don't like big, gaudy hats with all kinds of logos on them. On the very back by where the, you know, the band closes or whatever, it had a tiny little swoosh back there. I'm like, nope, I'm not wearing it. I threw them out. I threw everything out. I gave them to charity. I just took them to the Goodwill store and everything was gone. And I will not buy Nike. And everybody that I know knows this. Everybody I know knows this about me. A couple of them have dumped some of their Nike stuff. I think some of my friends have decided if they can to buy Under Armour. It was founded by a great conservative. So I buy Under Armour mostly. I buy a lot of Adidas stuff. I like Adidas. I really don't have anything wrong with any of them except for Nike uses or supports countries with slave labor, like China. And then they, in America, tell me how to live. And the important thing about these companies is they're not American companies anymore. They're global companies, and that's how they see themselves. They're based in America, but they do not see themselves as American companies. They see themselves as global entities, period. End of statement. And so that's what Nike's become. I don't believe in what they stand for. I don't want them to tell me how to live. I disagree with them politically on almost everything. And the easiest thing I can do in my life is not buy Nike stuff, to throw out my old Nike stuff like David Wells did. It's gone. I got none of it. It's gone. I threw away some cool stuff too that I'd spent some money on through the years. I started this about 3 years ago. This is not new. It's not, I didn't just do this today. So this happened years ago and I just haven't bought anything Nike since and I won't. And it's hard for me because I go, you know, to play golf somewhere. We went to Arizona for a few days and got in the golf shop. And the coolest thing I saw in the entire golf trip was a pullover by Nike that I would have loved to have bought. And I just didn't get it. I bought another brand and got it. And it's not as cool as the one that I wanted, but I'm not going to buy the Nike stuff. And this is another way you can push back. You can decide where to spend your money or how to consume. You can look at, and Fox News does a pretty good job of this. They put a screen up. Here's the companies that have spoken out about the Georgia voter ID law. Well, there's a blueprint for you right there. Some of it's realistic. You can avoid it. Some of it's not. I'm in the market for a couple of plane tickets to go to a wedding in June that's out of the country. I ain't flying on Delta. I'll pay a little more to fly on American. And I'm not even saying American isn't liberal. I don't know what they are. All I know is they didn't make the stink Delta did. And I'll choose to spend my money somewhere else. This is a great way of pushing back. I got a great email, an example of this, of what we can do as a group here within this podcast. Now we have over 5,000 now folks that have hit the follower like button, which is great. My goal is 10. We can grow it from there, but we've gotten to 5,000. I appreciate that. If you spread the word of the podcast and you tell people about it and they hit that follow or subscribe button, they're more likely to listen. And this works. And we're all kind of a like-minded group here, which I like. And I got an email. I woke up this morning to one of the greatest emails I've ever gotten. TJ Vilkanskis sent me this last night. He's the owner of Back 9 Development. You've heard me talk about Back 9 Development on the podcast. They're building the Solheim condominiums at Grand Mirror. And he says, this is Kevin, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work you're doing with the podcast and getting the word out about our company. But mostly, he's a fan of the podcast. He listens every day. He likes what we talk about. He says, we're starting to arrange tours for people. We get them in for tours. At this point, we have double-digit commitments. And you can see the actual units there between the first and the 10th holes at Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. So I just want to let you know, we've added a fitness facility to the clubhouse space that's going to be exclusive to residents. That's great. Okay, so I'll put that in the spots, and we'll be talking about what he's doing with the Solheim condos at Grand Mirror in Manhattan. And TJ's got a great company, great home builder, awesome. But mostly, he likes the podcast, and he likes what we stand for. And here's his way of pushing back. Just as I said with David Wells with Nike and myself with Nike. TJ writes, Kevin, one other thing I want to let you know is we've started to use Ron Buck and Buck Roofing exclusively for all our roofing needs. Once I heard he was sponsoring your show. I don't know Ron very well, but he seems like a great guy. I will try to get him to buy a condo, though. And then he puts an LOL and a ha. But this is the point. So TJ likes the podcast, and he's building condos and building homes and doing all these things. He puts a roof on everything he builds, right? And he has subcontractors. He's the general contractor, so he has subs. And he said, look, love the podcast. You say Ron Buck's the guy. Ron Buck's going to start doing the roofing. This is how we win. If you don't know the people you're doing business with, whether they're conservative or liberal, I don't know that it's necessarily comfortable to go ask them. But my friends, Tony and Ruth Ann, who are getting married in June, they're getting ready to do like a fire pit and some stuff in their backyard. And we had a guy a few years ago that came and did the work for us. And his name's Jason Fort. He's a good dude. And this guy he owns his own company. It's a small company. It's mostly concrete and outdoor hardscapes and things like that. He did a great job at our house. And I'm not on Facebook, right? So Jessica's like a Facebook friend with him. And she's been showing me for a couple of years, longer than that, many years now. You know, all of his, he would throw Trump parties and all this stuff. He goes on the job site wearing his Trump hat and whatever. I said, hey, the guy we know that does this stuff, I said, Tony, he loves Trump more than you do. And Tony says, well, that's not possible. I said, oh yeah, it is. And so they call Jason up to do the work and he's wearing his red, white, and blue hat and they start talking. And I mean, that's it. It was a single bid job. They didn't even consider another company. Jason got the work, conservative doing business with conservative. This is how we win. And this is how we win because we are the people in America that are working. We're the people that are working and paying taxes and paying our bills and building houses and buying cars and going to Joslin's to buy a ring for their wife. We're the people doing that by a much larger margin than liberals. I'm not saying there aren't liberals that do. That's not my point. I'm not saying it's 100% here. I'm saying the majority of people in this country, the engine that makes this country go, are conservatives. There's no doubt about that. And so TJ has decided with his company, Back 9 Development, that he's going to do all his business with Buck Roofing. I'm like, that's unbelievable. Because of what? Because of this podcast? That's winning, folks. That's how, it's just the little things. TJ's got to have some roofer come to his roof. Well, now he likes the podcast. Now he knows Ron Buck's a roofer and Ron will do it. And now he knows where he's spending his money, that it's going to something good, that we're all sticking together. It needs to be a club. But it needs to be a large club, like millions of people that say, we're going to be much more careful now about where we spend our money and how. We're going to pick and choose, because it doesn't do any good really to scream and holler that Delta Airlines did what they did. What matters is you don't fly on Delta. And if you got to bite the bullet and your round trip ticket is $75 more on Southwest or American, you just do it. Quietly. You don't have to tell anybody. You just do it. To steal the phrase from Nike, who I've thrown in the trash and gotten rid of. TJ, I can't thank you enough. I'm going to be out in Manhattan in a couple weeks. I can't wait to tour those condos. They're going to be awesome. They're really, really cool. And I know a couple people that are strongly considering getting them. And he's got double-digit commitments on them. If you want more information, you know it's back9development.com. You hear me talking about them and the spots. But I just want to let you know, these are the kind of people that sponsor this podcast. And I know that a huge number of you, given the choice, will support one of the sponsors of this podcast. That means the world to me, to them, but mostly it means the world to all of us. It's what we should be doing. We should seek this out. It takes a little more time. It takes a little more effort. We should seek these things out. If you can spend your money with somebody you know is like-minded, why wouldn't you? If you're going to spend it anyway, if you're going to shop there or get a service or do whatever, why wouldn't you? And TJ, you're awesome. First of all, you made my day by sending the email. Thank you. But this is incredible because it's pretty rare that you get a business email and think, well, there's today's podcast. This is about pushback. That's the umbrella term. All right. TJ doing business with Ron Buck isn't pushback. It's common sense, but it fits under the umbrella of pushback. It cuts something out that you may not. And listen, he may have had great subs before that did roofing for him. And they may or may not have been like-minded or whatever. But what he knows is he's got a boatload in common with Ron Buck. Back 9 Development and Buck Roofing have a lot in common. And now they're business associates. And that's how this works. And that's what this whole thing is about when it comes to pushback. There's a track coach in New Hampshire, a listener named David. I always hesitate to give your last names if you send me an email. So when you send an email and you have a story suggestion or something for the podcast, and this is a great one, if you send it, let me know if it's okay to use your name. I'm just going to say David B. I won't say his last name. David B. sent me this. This is from CBS Boston. Boston. This is pushback. This is a fabulous type of pushback. This is the best. I think this will become a national story. I think you'll get to know this guy. I think you're going to wind up seeing him on Fox News, whatever. This just happened. A New Hampshire high school track and field coach says he was fired after refusing to enforce a mask mandate for athletes that he called senseless, irrational, cowardice bullshit. Unquote. Pembroke Academy track and field coach Bradley Keyes said the school informed him that athletes are required to wear masks during all races and the majority of field events during the upcoming spring season. Keyes said, "I will not stand up in front of these kids and lie to them and tell them these masks are doing anything worthwhile out in an open field with wind blowing and the sun shining. These insane policies are robbing kids of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for no valid reason other than irrational fears and going along with cheap." Keyes is in his fourth year as the track coach, concluded the letter by telling the people with the school district, quote, "Fire me if you must." And they did. Keyes went on to say, "I didn't give the school any real choice. I backed him into a corner. What I wanted was to make a point. I was hoping the word would get out some, and maybe there would be enough reaction that down the road, maybe in a few weeks or later, some of the restrictions on these kids would be changed. I just think that people haven't pushed back, and I decided it was time for me to push back." Keyes said the masks were just fine while everybody was on the team bus, but he didn't think they were necessary at all outdoors and saw no science indicating it otherwise. Exactly right. He pushed back. He lost his job as a track coach. Now, here's the important part. And so I know everybody has to make choices in their own life. It appears that Bradley Keyes, the track and field coach, was in a position where he could lose his job. He was not a teacher. He did not work for the district. So he was the coach hired on the side. So he must have done something else professionally and was the track and field coach. It doesn't say here. He could be a small business owner. He could be something else and did the track coaching on the side for the school district. But he'd been doing it for 4 years. He clearly loves track and field and loved coaching kids. But his main point is, I'm not going to lie and peddle BS to these kids. This is fantastic. This guy's my hero. That's exactly right. He stood right in front of every kid growing up in New Hampshire's not particularly liberal. Like a lot of New Hampshire's really conservative. But Boston is very liberal, right? Which they're very near. This is an unbelievable message to young people all over the Boston area. If this just becomes a big story in Boston, which it is, if this becomes a big story in Boston, every high school athlete throughout that area, we're talking about what? 6-8 million people live in the New England area right there that are probably consuming this through media, maybe 10 million. You know, if you get into some of the other places, outreaches, outposts, maybe 10 million. All these high school kids playing athletics in any of these schools are going to look at that coach and go, thank God there's a coach out there that says this is dumb. Because most high school athletes think this is dumb. Okay? So here's what these high school athletes, all right? We're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-olds. If we do our part with these young people and we point out to them how ridiculous this government control is, they will learn at a young age, despite what their teachers tell them, that this control, this is the one. I mean, having your teacher say do this is one thing. When they're telling you you've got to throw the javelin wearing a mask, or run the 440 wearing a mask, kids aren't stupid. They're going to go, these people are crazy. All right, and this track coach is not. So they're going to learn more about this guy and people like him. And they're going to say, maybe there is something to conservatism that's better than liberalism. They will learn it without even thinking about it. They'll just know. It's common sense. This is how you win. This is remarkable pushback because this is going to go to tens of thousands of young athletes in New England. Are going to see this story and this coach saying, man, I sure would like to run track and field for that coach. He's standing up for us and how stupid this thing is. And he's pointing out how ridiculous it is to compete in a competition while wearing a mask. It can, of course, be optional. If your parents tell you, we're only going to let you run track and field if you wear your mask, you can do it. It's optional. You can do it. I'm not taking away the right from anyone to wear a mask. And I'm not taking away the right of any parent to require their kid to wear a mask at all times. If that's what they want to do, you're the parent, you're in charge. But the school district mandating the track and field participants outside on an 80-degree sunny day are wearing masks while competing is absurd. The whole thing is absurd. And this is classic pushback. This is really, really good pushback. On a side note, Lorenzo Cain hit a home run yesterday, Thursday, wearing a mask. Lorenzo Cain's a mask wearer. He was my favorite Royal. During that run, he was my favorite Royal. I always found Lorenzo Cain to just be the nicest guy. Friendly, jovial. He was subject to pranks and things like that. But gosh, he was just a upbeat, happy, friendly guy. I always liked Lorenzo Cain. Played the game with a smile on his face. He faked some injuries every now and then or exaggerated some injuries. You know, if he got hit by a pitch, boy, it was the end of the world. You know, he'd have been great at soccer. He could have just, like, he got shot, just gone straight to the ground. Marshall Dillon just put a slug in him. Boom. Down he went. Lorenzo Cain, every little thing, he dived back into a base. Oh, that hurt my wrist. But I love the guy. I love the guy. I just found him to be a really, really neat guy. I just, he must have a reason why he's wearing a mask out there hitting home runs. He has done that. One other news note before we transition into sports on the podcast today. In Kansas City, City Council approved unanimously taking approximately 500 homeless people from the tent cities at City Hall and in Westport and moving them into hotel rooms for 90 days, giving them privacy, running water, bathrooms, the whole deal. It's about 500 people. There is something called the Kansas City Homeless Union, and they've been camping out now for a few months trying to get housing. The federal government, now that Biden has won, is sending millions of dollars to places like Kansas City to house the homeless. So we've done this, and Mayor Lucas was behind it. I'm ambivalent on whether this is good or bad. I'm happy for these people that they have a place to be. It seems humane and right, but I don't see any strategy to wean them off of this. This is like your two-year-old, your one-and-a-half-year-old that's throwing a fit in the high chair and throwing food around because he wants the sweet stuff and screaming and kicking, and then you give him the sweet stuff. That's what this reminds me of. There's an actual union. It's called the Kansas City Homeless Union. So homeless people have unionized now in Kansas City. Their president is Gaddafi. I'm not making that up. He's got one name, and it ain't his name. He named himself Gaddafi, and he's their leader. Gaddafi's the leader of the Kansas City Homeless Union. There's another group called KC Tenants that tries to get people into housing that don't have it or keep rent control and things like that, that immediately shouted out, quote, "We can claim today as a real victory," unquote, by getting these 500 homeless people into hotel rooms. So we're putting them in hotel rooms. Federal government's paying for it. They have a union president named Gaddafi. Gaddafi, the union president, is homeless. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this going on, other than they basically picketed for free housing and got it. The government caved. They basically picketed or went on strike for free housing and they got it. Again, that's like giving the ice cream to the 18-month-old instead of making sure that he eats his little chopped up little pieces of spaghetti or whatever, right? So they caved, they gave in, the people won. KC Homeless Union President Gaddafi did interviews, gave quotes. He's moving into a hotel room. He's very excited. Guess what happened with the media? Media said, well, Gaddafi, sir, what's your real name? Oh, hang with me. I'm going somewhere. And Gaddafi said, oh, I'm James Shelby. Okay, James Shelby, you've got a hotel room, as do the other 500 homeless people, many of them minorities, not all, many of them minorities. How does the government process this and get them into hotel rooms without IDs? Gaddafi, their leader, is James Shelby. He had an ID. He got a hotel room. If we went to these 500 homeless people and asked for an ID, how many IDs do you think you would get? Because this is when the racist liberals say black people aren't smart enough to have IDs or rich enough to have IDs or they're in too bad a situation to have access to the internet or get IDs, it's the most racist thing in America today. Liberals spreading false information like black people can't get IDs is the most racist thing I've ever heard. Truly racist. If we went to these 500 homeless that are now in hotel rooms, anybody want to take a crack at how many IDs would be presented? I'm going to offer this up. There isn't a single person getting in a room that has not been identified. You have to be identified to get in there. If one of them commits a crime, rapes somebody, burns the hotel down, anything, even accidentally, smokes in a non-smoking room and burns the place down, you need to know who did it. I'm going to guess that all 500 of these homeless people have been identified by the government to place them in a hotel room. How could they not be? And I would really love to just walk around when they had the tent city going and say, do you have an ID? I see who you are, just to see. Now, they may be hesitant to show you, but come on. Who doesn't have an ID in this country? They all have Social Security numbers. All these people are known. I think they're almost across the board American citizens. I don't think there's illegals here. I think these are Americans. Therefore, the government knows who they are. If you're an American, you have a Social Security number. The government has identified you. If you are an American, the government has identified you. If you're not an American, they will process you and identify you. They may let you go, but they'll process you and identify you and let you go. You may not still be a citizen, but they'll know who you are. They'll figure you out in some way or another, and they'll try their best to get it in a computer and do whatever. But this is the issue of the day, is this voter ID law. This is absurd. We just put 500 homeless people in Kansas City into hotel rooms. You're telling me they don't know who they are? This is the people they're talking about. When the racist liberals are saying, oh, black people are too dumb or too poor or too whatever to have IDs, it's so unbelievably, selectively bigoted against one group of people. It's offensive as hell. And it drives me nuts because it's sickening to hear white people say it. It really does. It makes me sick to hear white liberals say, well, black people can't have IDs because they're not smart enough. Biden said it. The president of the United States said it. Well, you know, they don't have the access to, you know, or don't know how. No, he said, they don't know how to log on. You know, some of these people don't know how to log on and get information. I'm like, really? Did you go there? Did you just do that, Biden? Anybody that wants an ID can walk to the post office. There's one nearby. They'll help you out. You can walk to the DMV and get an ID. You don't have to get a driver's license. This is just so racist. It's not reverse racist. People used to say reverse racism. No, this is just flat racist. The liberals are racist. And I'll bet you every one of these 500 people in hotel rooms has been identified by the government and placed in a hotel room. And if these homeless people are identified, who are we talking about that doesn't have an ID? I mean, I don't mean to pick on these people, but if we're going to look at a food chain of society, homeless living in a tent in Westport has got to be near the bottom. I don't know how much lower you would go to say, well, there's a person that can't get an ID than somebody living in a tent. This is so ridiculous. This ID thing is ridiculous. And it struck me when I saw last night on the news, they're putting 500 people in hotel rooms. I'm like, not without identifying, they're not. They're going to know who those people are, and they know exactly who's in which room. They know which room Gaddafi's in, the union, the homeless union president, Mr. Shelby, James Shelby. Because he had to identify himself to do the interviews. I mean, I don't think the media is just going to accept Gaddafi. You know, sir, do you have a name? We need to check who you are. Oh, yeah, I'm James Shelby. Okay, James Shelby. James Shelby staying at the Travel Lodge. He's the union president. Oh, my God, this stuff hurts my head, folks. It's remarkable. I don't know how to do this. Maybe somebody has an idea. How do we find out if these homeless folks have IDs? But I just can't look at it any other way than if you own the hotel and you agree to this program, I'm going to guess the rate is really low, but your hotel's full, you'll take these folks in and you'll say, look, we're only doing, you know, cleaning and sheet service once a week. We're not coming in every day because it's not going to be cost effective. But we'll come in once a week and clean you up or whatever and change out your towels and all that stuff. I'm assuming if you own the hotel, one of the things you'd say is, I need to know who's in my hotel. You have insurance. You have, as the owner of the hotel, an affiliation with Travel Lodge or whoever. The one they showed on the news was a Travel Lodge. You have an affiliation with that corporation. Part of your job as the franchisee is everybody who stays there must produce an ID. You can't check in without an ID. You can't. The parent corporation won't allow it. It's like against the law. I really want to know who doesn't have an ID. If these homeless folks got into hotels, how do you do that without an ID? Our absurdity of the week comes from Flint, Michigan. This is caught on tape. You can find this on the internet. A female letter carrier was beaten up by two other women. Now, the female letter carrier got in these women's face, and it started as an argument, obviously. It was not an ambush. It wasn't, we're just going to beat your ass, okay? This female letter carrier got into it with two other women. These other two women were mad at her and calling her names and being completely out of control because the letter carrier didn't have their stimulus checks for these ladies. These women were pissed they didn't have their stimulus checks. They beat the heck out of the letter carrier because she didn't have the stimulus checks. It's just insane. Crazy. Crazy stuff going on out there. We're brought to you today by Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building automation systems that can save you thousands off your utilities. This is part of the network. If you have a business or know somebody with a business that has any sort of a larger building, built bigger than a house, Elite Automation can save them money every month. Literally save them money on their energy costs. Hit me up with an email. If you know a business that you think this might be good for, or you work for a business or a mechanical contractor or somebody like that, shoot me an email. Kevin@kkasissues.com and say, hey, I know about these guys at this building. Elite Automation can save them money on their utility bills every month. Even if it's just a consulting service, they take a percentage of what they save and pay Elite with that. That's it. This can be a no-cost, all-win situation for many businesses. If you're in the business world or you know people with buildings, let me know and I'll hook you up with these folks at Elite Automation. They're incredible. They're incredible what they're saving people. They put in a great system for the folks at bstock.net, the outlet store in Olathe. And they're saving Chris and the gang out there hundreds of dollars every month on their HVAC costs. It's what they do online at EliteAutomate.com. Jocelyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at JocelynsJewelry.com. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Guys, don't forget Mother's Day is just a few weeks away. Whether it's your mom or the mother of your kids, Jocelyn's is the perfect place to go. All right, in sports, the Royals are... Well, they're off on Friday, so they don't play again until Saturday, so most of you will hear this probably before they play again. They're just falling behind in too many games. I'm not going to lament this or drag it out, but the Royals can't keep falling behind like they do in so many games now. Brad Keller gets knocked around again. He's the ace of the staff. That's two bad starts for Keller. I don't think it will last. I think he's going to be fine, but it is a little bit alarming. And now that the Royals are 3-3, it's a little bit alarming that if they didn't have those two massive comebacks where they were down 5 runs and 6 runs in games, they could be 1-5 pretty easily. The Duffy start was the exception. The Royals could be 1-5 pretty easily, and we could be sitting here talking about a bad baseball team and circling the drain. But they had a couple of miraculous games where they scored 25 runs in two games and came from behind and won against a bad team, the Rangers. That's fine. They're playing the White Sox, who are very good, and Lance Lynn just twisted them into a pretzel in game one of that series. And Brad Keller wasn't particularly good. So it's a marathon. We know that. The season was never going to be easy. The Royals are not a great team. But the one thing they cannot do is they just can't keep falling behind like they do in winning games. You cannot do that on a regular basis. And that's kind of where the Royals have been early in this season. Trevor Bauer is a stud pitcher for the Dodgers. He's probably the most outspoken person in baseball. I would love it if he's conservative. He may be. If he is and somebody asks him about the All-Star game moving, he'll let it fly. He is critical of Major League Baseball. He's critical of everything. I like Trevor Bauer. He's got a great Twitter handle. His Twitter handle is @BauerOutage, which I think is just fantastic. He's a great pitcher, a Cy Young pitcher, and he's very outspoken. He's making $1 gazillion with the Dodgers. And he has kind of a no comment on what transpired after his game on Thursday. It is now learned that Major League Baseball took several of the balls out of the game that Bauer pitched for the Dodgers and found sticky substance on the ball and marks on the ball. So they were either cut or had sticky stuff on them. Now, baseball thinks Trevor Bauer is juicing up the ball. He has been outspoken about Astros pitchers doing that and accusing others of it. Bauer's been so outspoken, I think it's possible somebody else could actually be doctoring the balls, giving them to him to try to get him in trouble. I think that's possible. I'm not predicting that, not saying that's what happened, but he is an outspoken dude that a lot of people in baseball don't care for. Now, baseball's investigating him. Here's the hard part. Even though they found sticky substance and cuts or marks on the balls, how do you prove it's him? If you don't catch him doing it, how do you know it's him? So it'll be interesting to see if they're sticky or marked next time, because a lot of times pitchers have done things like put a substance in their glove or a little corner of a razor blade sticking through their glove that can cut the ball while it's in their glove and nobody sees it. All kinds of pitchers have been caught with that stuff before. It doesn't go on as much as it used to, but they definitely found some problems with the baseballs that Trevor Bauer was pitching, so I'm going to keep my eye on that story because he's a marked man. If this was the Old West, there'd be a wanted poster for Trevor Bauer. There'd be a lot of people out to get him because he's just so outspoken on so many different things. But pretty interesting development there in Major League Baseball early in the season with one of the great pitchers in the game, Trevor Bauer. Masters is underway. I did a patron podcast, as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, strictly on the Masters, and we'll probably do one again at some point this weekend. I love it. I'm surprised they're expecting rain at the Masters this week as the weekend goes on. They're expecting rain, so they've let the greens kind of brown out. They're all splotchy and patchy. It's un-Augusta-like. Played really hard in round one because they let them dry out. Greens became really hard, really fast. If you don't follow golf, it just makes the game harder. So it made the game harder for everyone, although Justin Rose shot a remarkable back nine or last 10 holes and finished 7-under, lapping the field. I don't think he will. I said it on the Patreon podcast. I don't think Justin Rose is going to win. I think he's going to come back to the field. I think his 10 holes were so crazy great, it had to be a fluke. Honestly, compared to everybody else in the field, it had to be a one-day fluke or a 10-hole stretch. But they need some rain because when I watch the Masters, I expect as much as anything else it to look better than any golf course out there. And it does, except the greens are patchy, splotchy, because they let them dry out. They're basically killing them to make them hard and fast because they were expecting rain this weekend. But to this point, they haven't gotten any rain in Augusta. There's like a 40 or 50% chance every day, but they're just not getting it. So these greens are burning out. It just looks really, really weird, but hope you enjoy the Masters this weekend. Also in golf, we learned more about the Tiger Woods accident. We talked about this at great length on the Thursday podcast, but we have now learned, authorities have said, that Tiger Woods thought he was in Florida after the crash. Now, the officer who grabbed him said he was in shock or thought he was in shock from the accident. Tiger thought he was in Florida. When they asked him where he was, whenever he says, yeah, I'm in Florida. We know more about his injuries. We also know there was an empty, unmarked pill bottle nearby. It is a big headline story. I'm not going to spend any time on it because if it's empty and it's unmarked, that doesn't send off alarm bells to me. But it is noteworthy that they found a prescription pill bottle nearby where the accident was, outside of the car, that was empty and unmarked. For whatever that's worth, that happened with Tiger Woods. And we'll finish with Ochai Agbaji from the University of Kansas declaring his preference to go play professional basketball. He's going to keep his eligibility. You can do this. You can get an agent, and you can declare yourself searching for a professional career. Bill Self said he's going to sign with an agent and follow the guidelines of the NCAA to protect his eligibility. And God, I love Bill Self. I love him because he says what's on his mind. He's great in interviews. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's all those things. But man, I just can't listen to Bill Self anymore say things like, he's going to follow guidelines of the NCAA to protect his eligibility. Because here's the deal. If he doesn't follow the guidelines to protect his NCAA ability, KU is still taking him back. Okay? Let's be honest. I think Bill Self should just not... He wasn't asked that specifically. Just don't offer it up, Bill. You shouldn't really even say NCAA. Just don't. We know what the rules are, what the protocols are, that he can sign with an agent. The agent's supposed to take care of him. He's supposed to fill out paperwork with KU to remain eligible. Just don't go there. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. Let's be honest. If he goes out and accepts a new car and decides before the end of July that he's going to stay in college, you don't care. He's coming back. You'll figure the rest out later. He'll be gone. You don't care. Let's just be honest. Please. It's a little bit like Biden talking about the border. Bill Self shouldn't be talking about the NCAA. He just shouldn't. At least not complying with it. Yeah, well, he's going to sign with an agent. We're going to follow the guidelines of his NCAA to protect his eligibility. Okay. Yeah. How many people are you going to put on that to keep an eye on him in the next couple months? None. You're going to require him to send in some paperwork that swears that he did this or that, but you're not going to, come on. Nah, stop. Besides, nobody cares at this point. The only bad thing with Agbaji is he was thought to have had a higher ceiling after his freshman year. He may have stayed too long. I think he's probably, unless he wants to go to the G League, I think he's probably going to come back. I don't personally see him making an NBA roster. He has some skills that are suited to the pro game. I think everybody agrees with that. And regardless of what people say, you know, the old saying used to be, stay in college another year and get better. That's not true. You get better by leaving college, even if you're at a great program with a great coach. When you go pro, it's basketball 24/7. No class, no restrictions on how much you can work with your coaches, none of that stuff. It's just work on basketball. You get better by leaving, and players know that. But after his freshman year, Agbaji was a big surprise, and the NBA was all over him. They're like, whoa. I remember some scouts that went to KU games a couple of years ago and said, we like Agbaji better than anybody else on this team. Now, he was 18 years old, and what they were talking about was the upside. Now he's been there, he's a junior, and they've seen him play, and his upside isn't so great. Sometimes you can stay too long. The question with Agbaji will be this, and I'll leave open the possibility that he does go pro. If Kansas is on probation, or he knows they're not going to be in the tournament or any of that stuff, the question becomes, why come back? Why come back? I mean, the players this year didn't have that much fun. There weren't very many fans. It wasn't, your Kansas basketball experience wasn't the typical experience this year. It wasn't the typical experience anywhere this year. You would want to go make money, I think, if you had a chance. Sure, he's a good student. He's probably close to a degree, can always get his degree later, online, whatever, if that's what he chooses to do. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for him to go pro. The reason to stay is you're not good enough to be pro. So we'll see. He's going to dip his toe in the water, and we will find out with Ochai Agbaji. That would that'd be one more cog. It's going to get, if he leaves, it's just getting tougher and tougher for Bill Self going forward. And you have to look at a lot of these things and say, well, a lot of this is the NCAA trouble. Not that players haven't left before or dipped their toe in the water, and not that Agbaji can't come back. But I think a pretty big factor here would be, geez, if we can't play in the tournament next year, you know, what do we got here? Maybe even being in the G League and trying to work my way up to the NBA is better than another year of college. We shall see. Hope all of you have a great, great weekend. I'm going to watch some golf. Probably not going to play any golf. Weather's going to turn a little bit, but I'm going to be watching a lot of golf this weekend and some Royals baseball. Hope you spend some great quality time with your friends and your family. Don't forget to push back in the way that you can. Any way you can, and that's not physically. Don't forget to push back. Just be a part of something. And I appreciate you being a part of this. And if you could tell others about the podcast or hit the follow, subscribe, or like button, I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. I think we can make a difference if we all work together in business and life and sports and all those fun things. I think we can make a difference. We need to sort of kind of come together as our own club, fraternity, whatever you want to call it. Let's do it. I'm all on board if you're on board. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.